Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Real Talk Radio Presents The Shark Tank. This is a show where brothers come together and we just shoot the shit and we keep it real 100%. Now, I mean, so today is myself, Nathan, we got Rob, and we got Brother Leonard, the Truth Seeker, on the line, and we're going to be talking about guns in America. You know, there's been two mass shootings here, I think, within, was it a 24-hour period? Was it, I don't know the timeline, but like still was so close. One in El Paso, Texas, and then one here in Dayton, Ohio, which is about 45 minutes from my crib in Cincinnati. But, you know, we're going to talk about it. You know, we had some disagreements. You know, we chatted about it a little bit in our little group. And, you know, there was some disagreements. There was no we ain't mad at each other. But, you know, sometimes brothers disagree. We just have different viewpoints, which is okay. You know what I mean? We still love each other. So we're going to chop it up today. And we hope y'all listen. We hope you guys enjoy the show. Don't forget to like, subscribe to the podcast, share the podcast with all your friends and family, because we're trying to get this to grow. You know what I mean? So let's shoot.
So yeah. Let's set it up, Lynn.
So, all right. Now, we know about the shootings. I guess there was two shootings. 29 people, you know, was taken away from us senselessly. They killed, I believe, the guy in police killed the guy in Dayton. The other guy, I don't even care to know his name, in El Paso, was apprehended without much incident. Go figure. But earlier today, because I typically wait to see how the aftermath is going before I will make a post on it on my social media. And this is where, you know, Rob and I, you know, got into a little disagreement. As, you know, Rob will say what, you know, Rob will come off on his point. And I will come off on my, you know, my thing about I'm not anti-gun.
Okay, I was going to ask you that.
Let me say that first. I'm not anti-gun. I am pro, I guess we say, gun control. Mm-hmm. But it's more on the sensible side. We'll break that down a little bit later, but.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to ask you. When you say gun control, what do you mean? But go ahead, finish it.
But the post that I made, right, and we'll get to the sticking point on this, and I basically said I have to deal with the first aspect of this thoughts and prayers thing. To me, I said, why should we as a nation give a damn? We have mass shootings every day in this country, and we don't do shit about it, which is very true, you know. The only thing that is basically done is thoughts and prayers from, you know, from different politicians all the time. But when it comes down to doing something, you know, to derail or to, you know, just to curb, you know, the onslaught of these, you know, mass shootings, they do nothing and they feel like they're powerless to do anything. And then the second point I made was, mentally ill people, because that's the next excuse that we hear. Mentally ill people are not the problem. Mentally ill people with unfettered access to guns and poison with white supremacist rhetoric is the real problem. You know, because it's basically giving a bad rap to, you know, to mentally ill people, but it's not just mentally ill people that are getting these, you know, that are just doing a whole bunch of shooting. Because a lot of them, if they get access to a weapon, a lot of them, and this is sad too, rates of suicide by a gun is on the rise as well in this country. And we don't talk about that as much. Right. You know, but that's also a byproduct of it. But as it relates to the mass shootings, though, there's an element of, like, there's an element of white supremacist rhetoric that's in a lot of these shootings. Like, for instance, right, in Pittsburgh, where I'm from, last fall, there was a white supremacist who really felt like the Jewish people are doing whatever Jews do, went into a synagogue and shot up a whole bunch of, you know, shot up a whole, you know, that synagogue and shot up and killed 11 people, you know, and most of them were all, you know, elderly retired people, like they were doing something. I don't know. But that's where I came off with the second point. And then now this is where Rob and, you know, I had a little bit of friction. I said, black folks, please stop with the, and I have to explain this a little bit, you know, please stop with the good guy fantasy scenarios to defend your argument for having a gun. Because you, I hope I'm still there, because you may be the good guy with the gun until the police show up and you're black. The Second Amendment was never meant for you. Now, in my opinion, I do not believe that the Second Amendment in its original form, like everybody wants to say, you know, how they wanted to, you know, interpret it, was meant for black folks. But that's where I'm at with it historically. The other notion of this thing was, for me, was just because you're a black gun owner, that's not the, you know, I don't really, you know, mind you owning a gun. It's just that there is a double standard when it comes to you owning a gun compared to other folk owning guns and able to get guns and be able to do whatever they want to do with those guns. That was where my thought process was in making that statement. And then I basically says, when the government does something, I'll believe it when I see it. But I know that that portion of the discussion of my point, you know, when it comes to these mass shootings, that causes some contention. So, Rob, go ahead and, you know.
Wait. So before Rob jumps in, because what I noticed, both of you guys had some salient points that y'all made on Facebook today. Now, I rarely comment on these types of things, but I saw both of y'all points, and I was reading the comments from both of you guys, and there was like some heated, I ain't going to say heated, but there was some friction on both of you posts, and not necessarily Rob towards Leonard, or Leonard towards Rob, but other folks chiming in, you know what I mean, on that type of stuff. And I noticed that, you know, this is, I don't even want to use the word divided, but this is how differing, I'll say, our views are. That's why, you know, when people say that black folks are all the same, no, we have a diaspora of different things, man, different beliefs that we live in. And guns is one of them. So we can be the best of friends and still have different opinions, but that don't change our friendship. Yeah. You know, and that's what we discussed earlier in the group, that we could be mad and yell and cuss each other out, but at the end of the day, we still brothers. So Rob, with that being said, go ahead and talk about what you posted and how you feel about it, you know, and then the friction that you felt that came between you and Leonard.
Well, you know what, man? So everybody got those friends, and we often talk about how the Shark Tank, that's why we're called the Shark Tank, because we're the type of friends that do that, and it's not. So when we say friction, man, we just, you know, I mean, we just like, you know, having spirited debates. That's all that is. But we, you know what I'm saying? It ain't like that.
Oh, it gets loud.
Yeah, oh,
it gets loud.
It gets lit. But it's all good.
But ain't no punches going to be thrown, and ain't nobody going to be mad at each other at the end of the day.
So the whole thing, because me, you know, Len and I have done this particular dance a few times. You know what I'm saying?
Liberal, conservative,
all that type of stuff. Right. So my whole thing was, you know, I felt like, in a way, like I'm not completely dismissing his point, the point number three about black gun owners, but it also made me feel like he was bringing up an argument that wasn't really there in relation to these mass shootings that happened recently. You understand what I'm saying? So, and my whole thing, and I know I'm not gonna call this dude's name, but I know there's somebody that made a similar point, that I'm about to make, but I think people, based on a lot of things that he has posted in the past, took. Let me leave that alone. I don't want to talk in code because I'm not going. No. I'm not going to speak his name.
No, leave dude out of it. Leave dude out of it. Just go ahead. We'll just deal with you.
Forget that.
He who shall not be named number two. Right. How about that?
What I was saying was, I've never had an issue with the purchase of a gun, with the registering of for my concealed carry. I've had to do that twice actually, because the first time I was just, you know, I was slack and let my jaw lapse. So I had to go through the entire process again. I've been stopped by police at checkpoints. I've been stopped for speeding, you know what I'm saying? And when you're approached by an officer, you have to reveal that you have your concealed carry license. And
depending on what state you're in, though,
I'm speaking North Carolina. You have to, when approached by an officer.
Okay. A duty to inform. It's in Ohio,
you
too.
You have to tell the officer that you are that you're legally armed. You have to present your concealed carry if they ask you for it. So I've escaped without incident each time. You know what I mean? I shouldn't say escape like I was doing something wrong in the first place, but you know what I mean.
We know what you're saying.
So that's what I was saying. I was like, well, I mean, I haven't had these problems. Like, so when people say the Second Amendment, now the Second Amendment may not have been for us originally. You know, we can debate that another time. That could be a whole other hour debate. But right now, I have had zero problems. I can get any gun I want, when I want. I can get my concealed carry license. Again, I've done it twice. You know what I mean? And that was where my point of contention was. I don't feel like you had, because I felt like it was kind of like a dig at black gun owners. You know what I mean? And that's why I said I felt like it was an argument. It was creating an argument that's not really there in this particular climate that we're talking about these last few days, these last couple days. So, and as far as what I posted earlier, because Len and I also, our discussion, our spirited discussion evolved into the theory, and I know the listeners are familiar with this catchphrase by now, the good guy with the gun, right? So we were talking about that and presenting our cases as far as that's concerned. Leonard thinks that it's a myth, and he presented some studies that supported that. And I feel like, even though I didn't do my homework like Len did, but I've seen, I've seen articles where people, legally armed citizens that have, you know, concealed carry licenses or whatever, have stopped criminals from, you know, either mass shooting or whatever type of crime that they're in the robbery, breaking and entering. Yeah. I mean, we even have teenagers at home minding their business, stopping home invasions with AR-15s. You see what I'm saying? So, there are, you can make a case for either, you know, either way. My point that I made today on Facebook was, okay, so, you know, there's the good guy with the gun theory. I'm legally armed. You know, I'm licensed to carry a firearm. If I hear gunshots going off, I'm going in the other direction. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't give a damn how many rounds and magazine, extra magazines I'm carrying. I'm going in, especially if I have like my son with me or, you know, loved ones or whatever. My first thing is flight. That's my first reaction, because I'm not a trained police officer. My gun, the gun that I carry is for my personal protection. It's a legal means. It's a means for me to legally protect myself as a citizen. It doesn't give me the right. It doesn't give me the, I'm not obligated to run towards some gunshots and trying to stop a threat. Right. You feel me? And my point was, the only way that I'm going to run, you know, going to engage an active shooter is if he's coming towards me and my flight path is in jeopardy by his presence, or he's, you know, he's pointing a gun towards me or something like that, or he's getting ready to kill somebody right in front of me and I have a clear uncontested kill shot. That's the only way I'm engaging an active shooter. You can call me a coward, you know, not you guys. I'm just saying.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. Because I would do the same thing. Because I was going to post it, but somebody asked me. I'm the exact same way. I'm not running towards the gunfire. I'm not getting paid for that. Call me a coward if you want to. I ain't trying to be nobody hero, but if he's coming towards me, in my general vicinity, like you said, my family there. Oh, yes, I'm pulling out. But my first instinct is not to pull out and go chase him and try to catch him and kill him and be the hero so I can get on the news.
Exactly.
Fuck that. That ain't what it's about. I'm trying to stay alive. That's my first
instinct. So, exactly.
Stay alive. You know what I mean?
So right. I'm running out. My thing is, we have to, I think we have to put some, We have to clearly define. We have to put some clear definition on this quote unquote good guy with a gun thing. It doesn't mean that, because I also made a post Sunday. I said something along the lines of, you know, praying is fine and I'm cool with that. But I think everybody at this point needs to tool up. You know what I'm saying? Go exercise your right, your Second Amendment right to own a firearm. Get legally license to carry concealed and the whole nine, and then go to, you know, your range and practice, you know, join a shooting foundation and do some of those tactical shooting courses and stuff like that. Train, practice, all of that, so that if it happens, you'll be able to defend yourself. I didn't say engage a fucking active shooter. And I think that's what some people I think some people took that from what I posted. Like, no, y'all need to tool up so when this happens, you know what I'm saying? Y'all could be the cops. You know what I'm saying? Y'all could be the get your ass out of there first. You know what I'm saying? And if it comes in your direction, then drop the threat. But be prepared to do it and have the presence of mind to do it. And you get that through training. That was my point. So ain't nobody trying to make no heroes. You feel me? Go ahead, Len.
Now, I didn't respond or reply or like any of that post. Why? Because at the time on Sunday, I was like, I ain't really got time for this shit. Okay? Because you know me, sometimes it's like I look at some stuff and I was like, all right, I'll just let you scroll on. I'll scroll on. Mm-hmm. I saw that shit.
Right. That's Western.
Yeah, I don't feel like dealing with this shit right now. I'm trying to, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm trying to, you know, stay nice on this buzz I had last night from these Twitch guys.
Speaking of cigars, but go ahead.
But no, that's the whole notion that I think that a lot of people fantasize, and I'm not saying that you're one of these guys, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of folk. Especially gun owners, and it's not just black gun owners, it's gun owners in general. I think they get wrapped up in the fantasy of, you know, when this thing pop off, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pop off with it and I'm going to go ahead and be, you know, and get this, like, I'm going to be this hero complex like they Batman and shit, you know? Mm-hmm. And that is like, that is so risky,
mm-hmm.
because here's the thing. You're going to sit up there, not only engage yourself and probably get shot, but it's a really good chance that you're going to, you know, take somebody else out,
mm-hmm.
that was even a part of the city, you know, that shouldn't have been taken out, and they're trying to escape.
They're trying to run too. Right.
Yeah. And you trying to be all gung-ho hero thing, like, you know, like you're, you know, in a Marvel movie, and that's the whole thing, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that, you know, the the gun manufacturers and those who propaganda, that whole notion did it so that they could placate on people's fears, and not only placate on people's fears, but be able to put this thing of it is the macho and heroic thing to do to sit back there in these situations, if these situations occur for you, that you can actually be a hero in this situation. And I think that a lot of the stuff that we look at, and, you know, when we bring out these, you know, these scenarios where stuff may have happened, but the numbers don't support it. And on both sides, you know, it's anecdotal, you know, like, yeah, I don't know what happened.
No, me either. I just rejoined it. No, let me tell Rob to get back in, man. Yo, I was like, man, this. I don't know how I'm feeling about this.
This anchor. Anchor,
man. This anchor ain't getting it, bro. We're gonna have to find something else.
Yeah,
this anchor it really ain't getting it, bro. Yeah. So yeah. As soon as Rob get back. Okay.
All right, Rob.
I'm here.
All right, Rob, you back.
All right.
Now it's just janky ass music playing in the background. Y'all hear that janky ass music?
No, I don't actually.
No, I didn't hear that.
What? Y'all don't hear that?
No, I don't.
Man, what in the four Sam Houston is going on here?
I hear nothing of the sort.
Bruh! Bruh.
All right, let's get back.
We'll get L to edit it.
right. Well, it's gonna be two podcasts, I guess, because it's still popping off.
No, but you can piece it together.
Okay, cool. But what I was saying is, you know, all the mass shooters that's happened, have we seen any quote unquote good guy with a gun actually try to stop one of these mass shooters, no matter how much they might fantasize about it, but in the midst of it, when it's happening, I'm gonna go out the window, bro. Right. Like, I thought I might be brave enough to go out and shoot, you know, go out and confront this dude with an AK and I got a pistol. I thought I might have been that brave, but it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, well, the closest scenario that we have that I've read, now I don't know if you know, I'm just going to say off of these most recent ones was a couple years ago with that church shooting in Texas, where I think it was like 27 people was shot and killed. The gunman went into the church, shot up the church and left. And then there were some other folk that came in after after the shooting happened and the gunman was long gone. And then they found him down the road somewhere, and I think that's where he got taken out by police.
Listen, even this, I don't know if y'all remember, it was a few years ago in Louisville, Kentucky, at a Kroger store. Kroger's in Louisville, Kentucky. There was a mass shooting, and there was somebody with a concealed carry who got confronted. He had his gun out, and the shooter, they said he got scared because dude had a gun, and he was like, I'm white. You don't want to do this. I'm white. And he let him go. Y'all don't remember that?
No, wow.
Bruh, this is recent. Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah. That's a Louisville, Kentucky Kroger shooting. He got confronted by somebody who had a pistol and let the man go. He let the man go.
Damn.
Man, let me find that story in Google. I'm gonna post it on both of y'all pages.
All right.
But anyway, but that's real talk. That's real talk, man. It happens. So, you know, I've had my concealed carry since 2010. Mm-hmm. Like Rob said, I've been pulled over before. I always show my license and my concealed carry when I get pulled over, or whatever. I give them both at the same time.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you, every time, they always give it right back.
Yeah.
Now, I'm one of the few black people, I open carry from time to time. You know what I mean? I open carry, and I still haven't had any issues with police here in the state of Ohio. Mm-hmm. Not one police officer. I go in Walmart all the time, open carrying. I go in Kroger all the time, open carry. Where I'm allowed to open carry, I will from time to time. And it's not often I do it, but I do it, and I haven't had any issues. Matter of fact, we had Taste of Cincinnati. That's down at, I mean, it's just, if y'all been to any taste festivals, you know, it's basically on the street. It's open. And I open carry down there. No problems, no issues whatsoever. So it depends on maybe what state you're in and maybe what police officer you may run up against.
That's the issue.
Because but let me finish before you jump in. Before if you're going to open carry, you must know your laws.
Right.
You must know your rights as well. You must know what your state law allows you to do, where it allows you to carry, and you must know your rights. If you just because if I'm open carrying, if a police officer comes to me and asks me for my license, want to see my ID, in the state of Ohio, I do not legally have to show him anything. The simple fact that I'm carrying a pistol does not give him any probable cause or reasonable suspicion to ID me. But if you don't know that, you know what I mean? If you don't know, he said, well, you open carrying and, you know, you can get in trouble for this. And then you get scared and you do some stuff that's going to mess you up. So if you're going to open carry, know your laws and know your rights. You have to, man, because carrying a gun, as little as thing can get you in a felony. They recently passed a law. There used to be where you couldn't go anywhere where alcohol was consumed.
Right.
So I couldn't go into Applebee's.
Right.
I could not even carry my pistol in a concealed carry my pistol in the Applebee's. But they recently changed the law where I can carry my pistol in Applebee's or even a bar, but I can't personally consume alcohol.
Yeah, that's
pistol, but yeah, just if you're gonna carry a pistol, you got to know your laws. You got to know what you can and cannot do because they will hem you up.
That's right.
So let's say did pop off when I'm Walmart, and if he did come my way and I was to get a look and pop dude in his chest and he down, you know. I'm unloading my pistol, unracking it, I'm getting it, and I'm laying on the floor. Laying my head, because the police will come in, mass shooters, whatever's two mass shooters now,
bro. Exactly.
You have to think about that, too. Mm-hmm. You have to take that in consideration.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let me disagree with you just a little bit. I would do something very similar, but I'm not unloading and unracking my gun. I'm going to holster it in case another threat pops up. But I'm going to holster it, and then I'm going to submit to the police when they get there. I'm going to hang around, you know what I'm saying, and try to, first off, retreat to a safe position, you know, as safe as possible, wait for the police to come, and then I'll identify myself. But I'm holstering my joint until the threat is completely over. And when I see the police, it's going to be hands first. My gun is on my hip. Please do not shoot me. You feel me? That type of stuff, but yeah.
I mean, I don't see that happening. But I got you.
Yeah, yeah. That's you. You know, you do it your way. I'm gonna do it my way. You know, because we still black.
Exactly.
They see black first, and that's kind of, I agree with Leonard a little bit on that. But you know, no matter, you may do it that way, Rob, but they hear guns. And these motherfuckers is scared like we scared.
Yeah.
And all they see, oh, he got a gun. Pa, pa, pa. Nope. Unloading it. I'm putting it down. But, you know, you say you want to holster it? Nah, bro. I ain't doing that. I'm unloading it, putting it down, and I'm laying down, hands spread out, you know, spread eagle, whatever, bro. Give you no reason. And then later when it come up, you know, this is what happened. Because, you know, the police, they see what they see.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just me. That's just me.
I mean, like for instance, I'm not sure what's his name, but last year, Black Friday, there was a mass shooting in a mall in Birmingham, and you know, police saw this you know, this black guy, you know, running towards, you know, trying to help people. It seemed like he was trying to help people. That's what they were saying.
Yes, I remember that. He was in the use.
And he was a soldier, and he was doing what he was trained to do. But police came in, saw a black man in this situation trying to control stuff, and got shot. And then they said, instead of, you know, instead of them being held accountable, they're like, well, nah, he was just there. That was just it. That family got no justice for that, you know?
And then again, like, you know, we can't use that.
Yeah, I know.
And Philando Castillo is outlier. You know, they're outliers.
Yeah, I know. It's anecdotal.
Okay, but okay.
No, I'm just saying, like, these situations that we come across, there are a lot of anecdotal situations, but because these situations are very few, and this is the one thing that I wanted to get, you know, get Rob to understand when it comes from my point of view, is